Now it's time for our next lecture. No, not really. The next sequence of rambling descriptions and trying to share some of my learnings or perspectives. And in this episode, I feel a lot of pressure, a bit of anxiety, because I want to talk about knowledge. And this is something that I have valued very highly in my life, in different ways. I worked with knowledge by being a student, which I still am, and will probably be forever in different ways. And also I worked with knowledge as a teacher, trying to organize, structurize, prioritize how to transmit knowledge, or more appropriately maybe, how to help the students gain their own access to different types of knowledge. And I've written very elaborate notes for this episode because I feel this anxiety that I want to do this subject justice, and I want to share that very contradictory view that I have about knowledge, and some maybe expand the views of what you see as knowledge and what does it even mean. What can be said about knowledge overall? So this feels like an ambitious undertaking. And I also feel like I might be too young to express myself in this matter. And also, on the other hand, based on these years of my experience, I also know that I don't really grow maybe wiser over the years, because I just learn how little I know. Like, the more you know, the more you know that you don't know. So I only learn about how much more I have absolutely no clue about. So if it continues like this, then I guess in my older years I will be totally clueless, or I will feel like I'm totally clueless. I already feel like that most of the time, but I'm still existing in some kind of in-between space where I feel that I still have something to share, something to tell. So best to express myself now, when I can still live in that illusion, when I can still hold on to that idea that maybe I still know something. Something that it's possible to know about, and something I can share in this moment. So obviously my knowledge is affected by the world that I grew into, and what was seen as valid or important knowledge, and what was taught in the school system, in society overall, in my family. I grew up in an academic household where there was a lot of talk about the daily news and what my parents were focused on in their work or research. And so I guess I've come to realize the type of knowledge that was available and acceptable, it's very hand in hand with these ideologies or perspectives that exist in the culture you're part of. So I tried to start this out with at least like trying to observe or notice some of those strands of thought or those ideologies that have also affected my own view on knowledge. So it was a kind of, I guess it's called scientific materialism, the kind of perspective where you're mostly looking for knowledge that you can somehow observe through doing empiric tests or gathering data about something, and that the world is mostly like this physical space where things that you can analyze and observe. That's what you can know about, and other things it's not worth to look into. And I think this is shifting. This has already shifted after we had, after the shifts in quantum physics, where it's become apparent that the world functions in stranger and more complex ways, and even like the physical realm, that it's looser than we thought, or than was what was believed in those times. And then I also had the Christian religion in the background, because I grew up, I was baptized, also went through confirmation into the Lutheran church in Finland. And only later have I realized how maybe that framework also affected my view on what kind of knowledge was acceptable to look into, particularly when I started my journey or my studies into these more mysterious realms of being curious about occultism and the esoteric. I realized I had a lot underneath, a lot of constructions in my mind that this was actually like a bit dangerous or forbidden and sinful, or like those ideas that I didn't think that I still had affecting my mind, or what knowledge was available or okay to look in. So there was some kind of little bit of a struggle in me to allow myself to go there and look there and see that I could find deep meaning in these works. And maybe the whole process of also just the act of letting myself look into forbidden areas of knowledge helped me to start to challenge the view, these rigid views and crumbling foundations of knowledge, like what kind of knowledge is acceptable or what kind of knowledge is right. And worldviews connected to that knowledge that also harmed my own identity as a woman and as a person, just maybe as a person who has a soul, and to question, what can I know about that myself? How can I connect to it myself instead of through maybe the middleman of a church? And then I needed to challenge those views that some areas are forbidden and just should be hidden. So for me personally, that was a process that I needed to go through, connected to knowledge. And in this episode, I wanted to also help to create a bit of a foundation that what are these studies into the mysterious? What is knowledge? And as always, my mind goes into all directions, and it's very hard to grasp onto and decide on one simple answer. So this episode might be a bit of a rambling and going into different directions, and that's probably how it needs to be for me. And hopefully anyone who listens to this can just get something interesting out of it. Yeah, so then I wanted to talk about the way that even like this kind of esoteric and occult knowledge, even that kind of knowledge is its own kind of bubble. The idea that everything exists within its own frameworks and filter bubbles is also pretty interesting, and that nothing is, I don't think anything is maybe more valid or true than the other, and that can be a very provocative view to hold. If you have this idea of the scientific materialism, that we are looking for that one single truth and this is how the world works, and then if you believe that maybe there is that one single truth, but it can be multiplicities of truths, or that's kind of where I'm going towards, but my mind can't maybe go further, my human mind here. So anyway, I found it most constructive to instead of maybe go looking for that one single truth, I wanted to develop a view where we can acknowledge the connections that exist between areas that seem very far removed on the surface, but that underneath it, like, maybe there are some connections that you didn't think about. And still, one word about this occult or esoteric knowledge, the works that I took part in, was that that one thing that it really helped me was to break open the idea that knowledge is only some kind of something to be gathered in text or in data, in filling your head with more information. Because there were many of these books that were very encouraging to stop and feel into your body and feel into that knowledge that you have to sense and feel things. And that was totally new to me, as a contrast to the view on knowledge that I had grew up with and that I had learned. So that was a very valuable, a valuable shift or valuable thing to learn and broaden the view of knowledge. So, yeah. Then still back to the idea that everything has or is its own kind of bubble. I'm gonna try a metaphor to illustrate or visualize, to try to make this complex subject a bit maybe simpler. So, knowledge in a world where it's so widely accessible as in my world, the knowledge can feel like an all-you-can-eat buffet. So you have all the different dishes of the different disciplines or genres or different perspectives. And then there are foods that you've never seen before. Maybe some foods that are hidden from your view because you haven't had access to those types of knowledge or those areas. And this all-you-can-eat buffet can get so overwhelming so fast that I think most of us will settle on focusing on foods that we already know and that we know that we like, that we can enjoy. So this can be compared to when you stay in your comfort zone, within your bubble, focusing on hobbies or areas that you know that you like and you kind of stay there. And then maybe sometimes you take a bite of something new, maybe you like it and you start eating that too, or maybe it tastes horrible and you don't want to touch it again, or maybe you start telling others that that's a horrible food or a horrible idea or something like this. And then another way to treat this all-you-can-eat buffet is to focus on the foods that make you feel so confused that you have no idea what to do with them. But you just, for some reason, you get so drawn in, you have to explore them until you can say, okay, I get it. I get a little bit of this, so now I can leave it. I'm sated now. And this last approach was actually an approach that I have had. I noticed I had when something just doesn't feel like it makes sense to me, I have to look into it. It's probably why I had to go into all these more esoteric areas that had been so hidden or that were said that that's just stupid, like astrology or also quantum physics. I was really confused by that. And I read a few books to kind of get something. And then I'm like, okay, now I have a bit to stand on. And I know that I'm not gonna probably become a very go deep as a quantum physics researcher, but I have to have a bit of that foundation. This also got me maybe into learning how to navigate sailing boat and these very far removed areas from what I was used to. And I had to learn at least a little bit until something made sense. So we have all this knowledge, all these foods, all these areas, so much we can learn and know. And then we have so many different approaches we can have to it. And then I want to also add another approach that is like, because this gets so overwhelming, then you totally turn away from it and take a stance of maybe a more naive or naivistisk, I don't know, it's the English word. I guess it's naive, that you want to reduce how much you know. And this brings to mind the book Naive Super by Erlend Loe that I read, where a guy, he's an adult, but he starts doing these very simple things like just piling blocks and go kind of backwards into a regressive state where you don't want to take in or have to be so responsible or a part of everything. And this is also very interesting to think of in terms of knowledge, like what is the responsibility and how do we meet that? And well, that was one of my favorite books when I was a teenager because I was so overwhelmed by the amount of maybe schoolwork and pressures and growing up, becoming an adult. And then that book provided a solution that even if you're an adult, you can go into these states where you become totally, you can regress a bit and just keep it simple and just do things with your hands instead of filling your head with all these books, with all this information that was expected of me in the school. What, yeah, that's a bit of a side note there, but I suggest you check it out if it sounds like an interesting book. And then what to say about these different approaches at the buffet of knowledge? Again, nothing is more wrong or right, I think. And I also have my favorite foods in the buffet that I get back to time and time again, like some areas that I'm more interested in than others, for example. At least, at the very least, it can be interesting to try and observe how you usually function when it comes to knowledge, like how you tend to approach it, which foods sustain you, and which foods or types of knowledge do you absolutely not want to engage with, and why? If that's something you're interested to look into, of course. And then for me, I had to accept over time that I might have one ideal of how I want to approach this buffet and how I want to approach knowledge. But maybe I can't do it that way for some reason. Maybe it's just not right for me. That there are simply some areas that I'm not interested in. There's some types of knowledge that maybe it's not for me. I don't know exactly why, but there's just no pull. And I think that this is fine. And maybe this goes contrary to a popular belief that the more knowledge, the more data, the better. Like you should always just know more or try to learn more. But I don't know if I believe that more is always better, and maybe human minds are not meant to eat everything or know everything or learn everything. And maybe different minds or different people need different foods. And maybe some limitations are good. So, yeah. That's something I've landed in that I've accepted with myself, that because my mind is so curious and wants to go in all directions, I have a tendency to do so, and I also felt a pressure from the outside or from the way that I was brought up, that you have to be informed and it's your responsibility to know how the world works. And then over time, I started to challenge that belief and think that maybe it's not worth it if I only end up being overwhelmed and there's nothing I can do with that knowledge. maybe I have to focus. And for everyone, that process looks very different. And that's how it is. Or that's what I landed in so far. So let's maybe talk about different types of knowledge. We have this metaphor now that connects to the body, to sustaining or nurturing yourself by taking in knowledge, like through this buffet. But maybe we can extend this metaphor so that it also includes the type of knowledge that we talk about, that it also includes, in addition to just like reading or taking in information, maybe something else, some different types of knowledge. So in our cerebral, I don't know if I expressed that correctly. I've written it here in my notes. In our mind-focused world, it seems that there are vast areas of knowledge that go completely unnoticed, forgotten, or overlooked. At least it was that way when I was brought up, or when I grew up, that I felt that the knowledge of my body didn't have a lot of space. I wasn't even aware of such a thing existing, that I could listen to my body or feel into things. So I have been a kind of person who just took in a lot of information by reading and reading. I really love reading and taking in information through my head. But then many times I don't give time for my body to integrate it or feel into it, to process it. And then into this approach, as I mentioned earlier, when I started reading more esoteric works or occult books, they surprised me by asking how it feels in my body. And then I was really shocked and surprised, like, what? Can't I just sit here and read and just like try to take in all the information? Now I have to connect to my body and process it. So, yeah. Maybe now is a good time then to stop for a bit and pay attention to your body as you're listening to this or watching this. And then feel into, how does it feel to be here? How does it feel in your body to listen? And that feeling, however and wherever you feel it, is also knowledge. Different type of knowledge. A while back I read the book Sand Talk. I'm gonna include the reference in the show notes, because I don't remember the writer's name. But it was a very fascinated book where I gained access to very different views on knowledge creation than what I grew up with. And I'm not able to here describe all the dimensions of that book, so I will share a few pieces that stood out for me. For example, how that person had a way of processing knowledge that was very connected to physical acts, like crafting something with the hands, that would represent or be connected to the type of knowledge that they were trying to process and go through. And it also had this whole relational aspect, that they were doing something called yarning, which was a way of relating with another or talking with different people to kind of connect their own knowledge or their own views to something larger, or in this, through this relation, they could gain different vantage points or expand the whole range of that and the understanding. And it was interesting how in this view of knowledge, it was more like the physical act of crafting something was complementing and helping the knowledge process of the mind along. They were not at odds with each other, but they were supporting each other. And that's often how you feel if you've done some kind of creative work or working with your hands, that there is something going on that's like a, a silent type of knowledge or just physical or knowledge of the senses, something you're processing in a different way than just maybe talking or writing about it or reading about it. And then, yeah, I remember that I was reading about the idea of silent knowledge in when I was working as a lecturer. I lectured in areas that media technology and like visual creation or creating games, these kind of areas that have a lot to do with combining information or knowledge with the physical or with the practical side of actually creating or crafting some kind of artwork or a game or object. So there we had some seminars where we were taking in or reading different writers like Donald Schön, who talks a lot about the practical knowledge and the knowledge in our hands, but that's still through this framework of connecting to the mind and reflecting on the action. So that's also a very interesting area that exists and can be looked into. And another area that connects to knowledge was the pedagogical theories that I also kind of had to learn, or I'm thankful I got to learn also through being a teacher, because that's very focused on how do people learn, how can we support learning and knowledge creation. And those theories were mostly built on a constructivistic foundation, which means that it's focused on analyzing how knowledge is constructed, and that still often stays quite a lot in the mind because of the culture that these works were written in, that knowledge is often seen as something that resides in the mind, in us. And then when we're teachers, we're trying to help the students to construct knowledge or put together these blocks and pieces and connect them to something they have with them. And then you can connect it to learning theories where the teacher can help to expand that range of what is possible for someone to know by being like a intermediary between and so on. So it's very interesting. Those views on knowledge and knowledge construction. I find it interesting when we think of the words and how much weight the words carry, and just the idea of knowledge construction. That places a lot of emphasis on that something as something that we're building and creating. And what if it was instead like knowledge relating, or I don't know, something else, like different metaphors or different ways of seeing things will affect the way we're gonna approach them and use them. Because sometimes seeing these things as just a knowledge construction makes me feel a bit exhausted or overwhelmed with I have to build something new all the time, and a new construct or a new framework. And maybe there are some frameworks or constructs that need to be taken down or shifted, or dissonances that pop up, and how to work with those. Yeah, now I don't know where to take this thread from here. I'm confused by my own train of thought. I'm gonna go back to my notes to see if I can find my way out of the woods of these constructs. Okay, yeah. In the end, what can we actually know? We can know a lot and still not know a lot. I don't know. But I know that I'm not supposed to know everything. I've landed in this, and that feels true to me. And it can sound provocative, if you come from a world where it's often said that you need to be aware and informed about everything. But what is that everything, really? I stopped reading daily news, as I noticed that the only thing it did for me was shift my attention for the day to being stressed by all the things that I could do nothing about. And my attention was shifted away from the things that I could actually do in my part of the world. And also, often daily news are quite far away from a deep and nuanced view of things. They're created in a way to bring out the extremes and the drama of every event and make it exciting. And I'm still a curious person, so I had an issue with this. I was feeling a bit ashamed that I couldn't handle reading daily news, because I felt like I have a responsibility to know, or I want to know what's going on to other people in the world. And then I solved this by, instead of then reading daily news, I can read reportages, like longer pieces of writing, or expand a view to maybe storytellers or taking in different perspectives, and then also read like a more journalism that has been kind of built over years or a longer time that can give more of these nuanced perspectives or deeper views. And just storytellers and different perspectives that bring something to me, some value, or can expand my view. And this seems to work for me, and it's very different for different people. Maybe for some people that daily news is like somehow helpful, if you're maybe don't have a kind of the same type of sensitivity that I have, maybe it can be entertaining or it can be a part of your daily routine. So it's very individual. But then knowledge acquiring also comes in stages, or like the taking in of information. In some periods of time, I can't really take in a lot. Like now, when I'm in the process of wanting to share these different views of my own, then I notice that I have less space maybe to take in, because I have to try and get my own thoughts out into a certain shape. And then other times, then I have more of a need to then be in that taking in mode. So yeah, there's a lot still to be said about knowledge. And then if we kind of expand it into the mysterious realms, if we go beyond knowledge as something that we take in through the mind, like information that someone has written, or that I'm now sharing to you, or that we take in with listening or reading, or even with our body, then there's a type of knowledge that you can go and access if you look inwards. If you believe in these ideas of the archives of the eternal, like just the knowledge that exists in the ether, or in the in-between spaces, in energy. And to look in there, and then to go and try to connect with the collective unconscious, to connect with that, that's a very different process, very different type of knowledge. Also planning an episode more about that, about visions and dreams and imaginings. So I won't go too deep into it in this episode, but it kind of ties into the whole idea of listening to your body, or listening to your own inner knowing. What is that inner knowing, and how does it differ from this the processing of the mind that we often see as the only way of knowing anything? So just to have something more interactive at the end, instead of being another of these lecturers that's just trying to transmit something, I thought I would leave you with the exercise. So maybe you can connect to that idea of what is your own knowledge, or the inner knowledge. So I have just a few questions that you could consider, like a little assignment for those who would want it. So take a moment to consider, what do you know in this moment? Just the first thing that comes up, or maybe you can write a crazy mind map with everything that comes up, or a long list or something. And then you can consider, how do I know this? How do I know these things? Where does it come from? What's the source? Where did I learn these things? Then you can ask yourself, how does this knowledge feel? Because often we stay in this very logical or rational place where we're just processing with the mind, and this is how it is. And it can be good to open up and go into that feeling of it and sensing into it as well, in addition to just trying to analyze. And then we can move on to some kind of action or planning for some action. What do I want to do with this knowledge? This might be easier if you have like one central thing that you focus on. So if you have a crazy list or a mind map, then maybe you can choose one of those things. So what do I want to do with this knowledge? Do I want to share it or let it go? Do I want to learn something more connected to it? And then go and do that.